Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm your host, Erica Rothenberger, and I'm so excited for you to join me and my amazing guests every week as you learn how to get gritty, how to give yourself the grace that you deserve, and to celebrate all the glitz that comes to you along the way. Are you ready to unlock your potential? Let's do this. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to be here. I am recording this on a Friday afternoon, and there's nothing better than Friday energy infusing through your, you know, your body and infusing through your bloodstream and just feeling like you're ready for an awesome weekend ahead. And let me tell you, I have a firecracker with us today, and I am so excited to have Denise Wiggins. I mean, finest of the fine, one of the most incredible women I've ever met, who is just absolutely beyond epic. And if she doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will. She has more than 30 years working in the global travel agency, and she is out there providing executive, you know, help with travels, with products, with budgets, with special requests. I mean, she does it all. And she'll talk to us a little bit about her being an independent agent and maybe how you can plan your next trip with her. She also provides executive coaching and counseling on health and wellness and wealth solutions, where she really, really focuses on physical and financial freedom to all of her global customers. And let me tell you, her story is utterly and amazingly awesome. She has had so many accolades when it's come to, you know, just being in the wellness world. She was a 2018 honorable mention finalist with our Isobody competition. She'll tell you probably a little bit more about that and about her journey and where that's taken her. And she also is the current president of the Collegeville Rotary, and she's the co-chair Community Relations Committee on the American Red Cross. She's been on multiple other boards, multiple other members, multiple other committees. Some fun facts about her. She's from North Michigan. She grew up in a little rural town with only 30 classmates in her graduating class. And she started her own business at 10. Yes, 10, 10. She's lived in 6 states. She currently lives in Pennsylvania. She's been married for 33 years. She's a mother to 1 millennial, 2 centennials. Oh my goodness, who inspire her each and every day. She's visited and worked in 53 countries. I'm already exhausted. She's an honorary member in Egypt. I could go on and on and on with this woman. I mean, she is truly the spirit of upon all spirits, and the way she balances life and does life and shows up in a big way. Denise Wiggins, welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz, where we get gritty today. We talk about the grace we deserve to give everyone, and we celebrate the glitz, the small and big wins that come along our way. Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz today.
Erica, oh my gosh, thank you, girl. It is so fun to honor each other, and you just were so kind, and I appreciate that, and I thank you. And I will tell you what, on a Friday, yes, I absolutely love Fridays. I light up. Actually, I light up every single day, but how can you not light up on a Friday, right? As you're heading into the weekend, you've got great weather, and whether it was good or not, I'd still make it a great day. I'd bring the sunshine. You know how it goes.
Absolutely. And everywhere this woman shows up, she brings the sunshine. So just get ready, get your note paper out, get your ears listening, because this woman is going to drop sheer magic on you today and just literally make you go after those big, audacious, crazy goals that are out there, because she certainly has done them and she has proven to make sure that they've happened. However, Denise, let's start a little bit, because you've accomplished so much and people look at your accolades and they're like, oh my goodness, what has this woman not done? But have you ever had any wall-kicking moments? Do you ever have funks in your day? Do you have any tips that anyone on the podcast today is going, oh my goodness, I wish I could be more like Denise, but I'm really in a funk period of my life right now, and I'm trying to get out of it. Any tips or tricks that you have?
Yeah, you know, I love that we're starting there, because that actually puts the focus on the fact that I'm a human being, right? I'm no different than anyone else. I put my pants on the same way as anyone else that walks this earth. So I am human. I'm a work in progress, and I'm constantly always, you know, ebbing and flowing with life, because we wake up thinking we're going to have one day, type of day, and then it turns into another type of day. And you have to be able to, you know, shift and move and groove with all of that. So definitely, I mean, there are days where throughout my professional career, and even to this day, that, you know, I get into a funk and I kind of like wonder, like, all right, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but my mindset is making me go there. What is it? So one of the most important things I would ever say is take a pause and step back and silence your mind. Basically, if that means like removing yourself from the environment that you're in and stepping out and recalibrating and doing some breathing exercises or going for a little mini walk or stepping outside, you can really make a shift. But one of the biggest things, and this is from my mom all the way back in childhood on the farm, is when you wake up in the morning, you go find a mirror and you greet yourself with a smile. And if we haven't learned anything, putting a smile on our face, for me, it's natural because mom taught me that way. But if you're not someone who smiles a lot, if you can just remember to breathe in, breathe out, and put a smile on your face, it will immediately work the hormones and all the goodness in your body, your mind and body, and you will begin the process of stepping out of that funk. And if you need to talk to someone to get whatever it is that's putting you in that funk, maybe find that solution as well.
Love it. I mean, listen, guys, a smile. She's not telling you to go spend $3,000 in therapy. She's not telling you that you have to go run a marathon. She's saying some of these simple things, going out for a walk, removing yourself from the situation, just smiling. It is crazy how contagious a smile can be, right? I could be walking out of the grocery store and smile at a complete stranger. The person smiles back for me. And I'm like, I made that person smile today. And exactly. It like instantly just like brings my mood up like five levels, right? And it's like, you know what? I have no idea what that person's going through. Maybe, you know, she's, you know, a mom who's dealing with a ton of stress, or a dad who, you know, just had a loss in his family, or whatever it is. Yeah. And the fact of the matter that you took the time to smile, it's a free gift that you get to give out, you get to receive, and it can totally change your mood. So I love that. I love that you didn't try to get so profound or so deep with us. It's really simple things, right? And it doesn't mean, and I love that you normalized yourself too. Like, you know, you said, hey, listen, I am just a normal, you know, go-getter that wants, you know, I always say like, I'm an ordinary person who wants to do some extraordinary things. And along my way, I'm going to scrape, I'm going to fall, I'm going to tumble. Yeah. And that we are going to all have those wall kicking moments. And
we
perfectly fine.
And you know, I think I might just quickly add to that, that one of the things, if you have youth in your life, whether it be your own children or other children or children that you come across in whatever touch points you have in your life, we can be models for exactly what we're talking about, because kids have down days too. And we don't always know. So that smile alone, or that greeting, or that nonverbal of any sort, will help the whole world, because kindness spreads when we smile.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that mindset, right? It could be raining and hailing, and you could have spilt your shake on you on your way to work. And you just like, hey, listen, I'm going to make this a great day, like regardless of what's going on. Exactly. Okay. So let's talk a little bit. You have an incredible travel business. And, you know, I know you and I share absolutely a common denominator of just loving health and wellness. I mean, you have so many different businesses, but you know, there's a lot of people here that could be listening who may want to start a business, that have their own business, that need to resurrect a business, that need to shut down a business, whatever that looks like. Do you have any tips or strategies for anyone that's working on a project or working on a business right now who may not necessarily feel supported maybe from all the people around them, or maybe it's even their significant other? And before you dive into that, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about your independent travel business too.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something, so travel in itself is in my DNA. Now, I didn't know that on the farm per se, but as time went on and I learned that, you know, the rest of the world is not all farmers. And, you know, once you leave the rural community that I grew up in and you start seeing the rest of the world and you're like, wow, this is an amazing, amazing place to be, this thing called planet Earth. And there's all these different types of cultures and people and foods and so forth. It starts seeping in. I was extremely blessed by a family who didn't necessarily have the means to travel in a big, large way, but we did leave the farm and we did do certain things within our own state and surrounding states. But when I had the opportunity to start going to, like, you know, New York and California as a young person, that's where I was just like, okay, this, I wanted to be, just to put it out there, I wanted to be an airline stewardess. And you know what? It didn't happen, because back then you really had to be a certain height. And somehow I could not get past 5'3" and you needed to be at least 5'5", 5'6". So, you know, not even with heels, no sirree, that was not going to happen. So,
whoa, and wait, what was the reasoning behind that? I'm really curious.
Well, here's the thing. It was all the marketing, right? So the flight attendants and the uniforms and the pristine first class cabin. And like,
didn't they wear hats too at that point?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Pan American Airways, gosh, God rest their soul. Like, I loved that airline, you know, and all the other ones that are no longer here. So there was this whole hype around, you know, you'd turn the page in the magazine and you would see it. And it was just like, wow, they are so beautiful. And look at them. And look at all the places they're going. It would be like, you know, Budapest and be all over the world. You're just like, I want that too. So I would rush to the World Encyclopedia books, you know, and I'd start flipping all the things like how to be an airline stewardess. And then there was a point where it obviously came where it was all about the height and it was not going to happen. So I was just
and
like,
I will add in to Denise, to everyone, that Denise has some pretty fabulous heels. So if she had those heels back then, she may have met 5'5".
Exactly.
She can rock a high heel like I've never seen someone rock. Rock a high heel. Check her out on social media.
Oh my gosh, totally. So, you know, it was already getting planted. Even though I couldn't be the airline stewardess, I had people in my life who were introducing me to all these different things that represented travel. And as things progressed, I ended up having an opportunity in Santa Barbara, California, where I ended up working as a secretary for the president of Motel 6. And from there, things progressed where I ended up working in Washington, D.C. with the American Society of Travel Agents, ASTA. And ASTA took me all over the world. And ASTA gave me the opportunity to be mentored by somebody who was a huge travel guru. And she is still my mentor to this day, 35 years later. And, you know, that's where I got groomed and I was able to, you know, learn what travel suppliers do, what travel agents do, you know, what all the convention and visitors bureaus, like all of these touch points and tourist boards, amazing. And I just totally ate that up. And I'm like, give me more, give me more, give me more. The interesting part of this, Erica, is I actually do not have a degree. I did not leave college with a degree in like hospitality and tourism. I did not. However, my degree became something that actually disperses itself across anything you do in life. And this is going to go into what you asked me. It was communications, right? So it was journalism/communications with a minor in interpersonal and public speaking.
Bam. Okay? Bam. Okay. Because I see it starting to creep in.
Yeah. I always hung my hat on the fact that you never know. They might shift that height thing and maybe someday I could still be that flight attendant. So there's where that part happened.
See, I think there was a higher plan there that, you know what, you were destined to do a lot of other phenomenal things. And not that it wouldn't have been phenomenal that you were a flight attendant, but you still did so much travel and you get to do it in a whole different way. Cause I've heard about some of your travel experience.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Toity. You're not serving meals to people every day.
No, you're absolutely right. Point well taken. So all of that, you know, kind of dovetailed into various things and weaved itself in that made it for like, wow, well, I'm actually in the travel space. And then I began to do different things in the travel space, doing trade shows and marketing and shipping and working with, you know, tourist boards and spending weeks at a time, you know, whether it be Egypt or Taipei or, you know, Scotland or wherever the case might be. There's so many places I've been. And this was all in my 20s, mind you, all in my 20s. So like when somebody wants to start a business, it doesn't matter what age you are, because I'm still doing that. I currently have 3 businesses. Some years back, I had 9 at one time. Like, you know, it's who I am. It's how I roll. And you can only be so good at certain things. So you do have to manage all of that. And I think, you know, communication would be the operative word that I would say to anyone. You want to have your goals of what and visualization of what it is that you personally are embracing and wish to do. and then communicate. Stop and communicate with the people that will get you where you need to go. That is key in all aspects of life. Truly, truly is. It's communication to self. It's communication to family and friends. And it's communication to your professionals and your peers. My whole life has been grounded in communication. And I think if people are stuck or they might not have support, you have the communication, yes. But I also feel very, very strongly that listening is so, so imperative. It is where I can listen to somebody and kind of hear their pain points or what they're missing or what they're trying to get to, but they can't find the answers. It might mean literally taking a little retreat to find what you're looking for and being, so you're getting away from that environment. You're going to hear me say that many times, going away from the environment and having communication and recalibrating will be so healthy if you feel stuck.
Yeah. And I love that. I love just as important as communicating and being the communicator to be the receiver, right? Be the listener and that active listening and everything that you do, whether you're helping someone with a wellness journey, whether you're helping someone with pick their dream vacation or their dream honeymoon, or like really listening and tuning into that. And all of the businesses that you do that so well. So, you know, I think the foundation of you having that communication major makes perfect sense. Then you follow your passion because of it. But it just shows you guys, if you're listening to this, you're like, I'm doing something. And yeah, it's paying the bills, but it's not enlightening me. Go back to your roots.
Absolutely.
You know, I was actually listening to an audiobook yesterday. It talked about that. Like, where do you really get to that gusto when you feel like it's not work, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're designing someone's dream vacation, or you're helping someone, you know, manifest their life with like through, you know, your health and wellness company. I mean, you get to this like euphoric state where it doesn't feel like work. It feels like a passion project.
Oh my goodness. Hands down. Absolutely. Right? I definitely feel one of the best, you know, qualifications I have and the best contribution that I have for anything I do is I'm extremely resourceful. I'm a solution-based person, right? So I love, you know, taking something that's, you know, a puzzle that's not together and putting it together for somebody so that they're trying so hard with their trip. And I'm totally all about everybody taking care of whatever they can. But there comes a time, and especially in the space we're living today, where we, the travel industry, the travel advisors, are really highly beneficial because we are the first point of contact in the industry for the information, be it related to the COVID, be it related to shutdowns, to cancellations and so forth. We get that on the back end. That's what's coming into us because that's what we're tied to, right?
Yes. Yes. So, and I mean, I'll tell you, if you're thinking about a trip, you're trying to plan a trip, I mean, connect with Denise. Her notes, all of her contact information is going to be in the show notes. Like, connect with her, dream big with her, think about that vacation because she will make it a reality and make it come true for you. And how great is that to be able to have that personal shopper for you really through your travel to really be able to make sure they're making the best decisions for you and listening to what you want to do? Because you may think that your dream spot is Hawaii, and Denise could hear something because she's been to 53 different countries and be able to say, hey, listen, have you looked at X, Y, and Z? And you're like, I didn't even know X, Y, and Z existed.
Oh, you're right? So spot on. That is that's a critical point that you bring up. And as an independent, so I'm an independent travel agent, right? And the industry has been shifting from agent to advisor, but the majority of the consumers still think travel agent, right? So that's okay if you call us agents. We're still the same, no matter how you slice it. My team that I work with as an independent, I can work with any supplier and any agency, an established agency, host agency that I want to. I can work with multiple ones. That's my choice because I've chosen to take the independent path where I'm in control of what I do from a travel business standpoint. So you have travel agents who work inside travel agencies, they're salaried. But for the most part, I think it's really important to know, for our listeners to know that travel advisors, we are paid on commission. Bottom line, it's commission, which means our commission comes from the suppliers. So the suppliers pay us after a client travels, and our payment comes 30 to up to 60 days later after someone travels. So you want to be, if you're in this space, obviously you want to have trips that are booked all year long, right? But the other part of that is, you know, I can, you know, I have a rapport with the suppliers, I have a rapport with the agencies, all these different touch points I have established through the decades, and I'm really, really proud of. And I know who I can call, and I know how I can help a traveler and finding what they need, whether, I mean, I have travelers right now on the road. I have travelers who just landed back from Spain after a wonderful, wonderful, amazing, they did not even want to come home, bike touring adventure. They were in the Spanish Pyrenees. They were in the mountains. They've been there for the last week, an incredible small group experience. And they just kept saying, we're not coming home. We're not coming home. Thank
Please
you.
Book us for another month, right?
Yes, totally. So, you know, it's, I have a lot of fun.
That's amazing. No, with that being said, do you have a favorite spot you've been? Because you've been to so many cool places.
Yeah, that's fun. And I get that. I get asked that a lot. And I'll always, right out of the gate, I'll always say Egypt has my heart. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm an honorary citizen there. My Egyptian name is Nafisa. I worked there for so long, for so many years. I absolutely love the culture. I love the people. I love everything about Egypt. So that will always have my heart. Now, put that aside, over in Europe, I would definitely say, you know, like Scotland is my homeland country, right? That's where family's from and so forth. So I have Scotland, Ireland, that's all wonderful. Wales, that whole UK area is fantastic. But as you then like would shift down into like the Mediterranean and go down in there, Greece is a hot spot, right? But I will tell you, Croatia has my heart.
Ah, okay? I love that. That is Croatia. My heart too. Did you know I'm Croatian?
What's that? I did not know.
Like, literally, that's where Andy and I, my husband and I, for anyone listening who doesn't know who the heck Andy is, we wanted our honeymoon to be there. We cut corners because, you know, you're paying for the wedding and, you know, your new newlyweds and all this sort of stuff. But that is where we wanted to go. And we took the kids there a few years ago and fell in love with it. And we said, we have to get back here. So I can't wait to plan my next trip with you to Croatia.
Oh my gosh.
Whether you come as our travel agent or you just help us plan it, regardless, I mean, as long as you bring the stilettos and, you know, you're 5'5", we're good, right?
Oh, we'll be dancing. We'll be dancing in Dubrovnik and everywhere else.
Abs, oh, well, such a gorgeous culture.
It is. And it was,
I went cliff diving there. I'm not going to lie.
I saw that. What a great memory. Yep. I actually, my first time there was when it was the former Yugoslavia. Okay. So that truly tells you that's a throwback. It's before 1991, like all of that before the war. And I just was enamored. And, you know, I'm like, how come nobody knows about this place? And they're like, shh, it's a hidden gem. We don't want anybody to know. You know, I'm like, my God, this is so gorgeous, so beautiful.
You know, anyone listening to Grit, Grace, and Glitz, add it to your bucket list. You got to get to Croatia. It's magnificent, absolutely beautiful. Much history.
Yeah.
So much fun and just good people, good food. Mm-hmm. It was just absolutely really a phenomenal, phenomenal culture. Their outdoor little cafes and you'll be dreaming about these things. And I will say, I'm going to go back to one other comment you made earlier in this response. And you said about you just being so resourceful. And I remember Denise, one of our girlfriends, had a wardrobe malfunction before she was ready to get on stage. And Denise somehow, some way, like, I don't think I ever could have solved this in a gazillion years. I don't know if it was safety pins or duct tape or a combination of everything in between, but she made that thing look absolutely perfect. There was was it Britney Spears who had the, you know, the wardrobe malfunction, right? There was none of that going on because Denise took care of it. So it's so true, right? So she's learned to be really resourceful in who she is and what she represents. And I think, you know, we're going through and we're navigating new businesses, new parts of life, whether you're a new parent, whether you're dealing with aging parents, whatever it is, it's really finding that navigation. And, you know, that kind of leads me into my like next question for you is, you know, I know there's times in our life where we all have to have tough, conversations. We have to deal with confrontation. It seems sometimes really negative for our energy, and not that we want to make confrontation, but it's going to happen, right? Especially when we're pushing the envelope. Any tips you could give us about just how you initiate or handle those conversations with grace? Because you do it with such poise, but I know it can't always be easy inside.
Wow. Yeah. And you know what? That is part of human nature where it does happen, right? Because emotions spill over or people are tired or they have stress and they have stories that we don't know. And it just unfolds and there it is. You know, maybe you didn't expect it and it's happening. And that happens to me in everything I do in life. And in particular, if you can imagine this, and I'm sure you can, in travel, that has happened a lot of late. Okay, so people's flights are getting canceled. They're trying to get home from England back home to the US, and the airline says, we're canceling your flight. You know, they're tired. They can't travel for two more days. They've got to outlay money for two more nights. They've got to do the food, the whole thing. And if you don't have trip insurance, I'm just going to put a plug in here. Travel insurance is huge. You need to always, always budget for it and have it in your back pocket. There is not one client that does not purchase it when they're buying trips through me. And they are so grateful because of late, we've had many, many clients who've had to put in claims for various instances that have happened and were unexpected on either pre-trip or during the trip. So I can't say enough about that. But confrontation happens. It happens with travelers, it happens in other spaces. And I think what I'm going to circle back to this. It starts with communication, but before we even do that, and the listening, it's taking a pause. And the client is presenting a situation where they're just really, they're struggling. They're very frustrated. Maybe they have kids with them and there's just a lot going wrong for them. And they need to vent. Okay. That's the word. They need to vent. And I do not take it personally. They may project it as if it's personally against me, but I do my very best. And it's just basically my mindset gets very structured very quickly. Okay. I've got somebody on the phone who's very, very upset. So I hit the mute button. I take a very deep breath, inhale, exhale, do it long 4 or 5 seconds. I'm listening at the same time. Then when I feel that they've said what they need to say, because I do not want to interrupt someone who's got to get it out, then I will insert and say, I hear you and I feel you. Now let's get to work on finding a solution for you. And that seems to begin the process of calm. And if
acknowledged them. You've taken the time to acknowledge, I know you're feeling this way. This is your dream vacation. Things aren't going the way. Someone got sick. Someone got hurt. Yes. Whatever it is.
Yeah, totally.
Acknowledging the situation and recognizing, let's face it, most of the time, people try to attack people, but it's really a problem, right? It's not you, but you're the only person. It's not their boat got, shut down. But they projected on you because, if we go after the problem, which you're doing versus the person, the solution can be so much better. Right. Yeah. And we're all guilty of it. Right. We're all human nature. Yeah. Who has been on the phone with someone, some customer service person. And I'll say a lot of times to them, I'm like, listen, I might come across a little harsh. I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at the situation. So I apologize if I come across any other way. And I'll actually preface that. Yeah. So the person knows, I'm not attacking Betty on the other end of the line. Mm-hmm. I'm attacking the situation that I'm trying to deal with.
Yes.
I don't always do that, but it definitely helps if you can start to train your brain that way. And I love that. I love what you said, though. You literally press mute and take that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. It's so important.
Whether it's a tiff with your significant other, it's with your kids. This works in any situation, not just business.
Imagine
your kids when they get upset. Hey, I acknowledge you feel this way. I know you don't want to make your bed.
Yeah.
But guess what? We're not going to go to school or we're not going to go to the pool unless this happens. So it's your decision. I love saying that to my kid. It's your decision. Is.
And here's another thing I'll say in the world we're living in today, the way it's unfolding itself and more people have continued the realm of working from home, right? Mm-hmm. So that means Zoom meetings and so forth. And occasionally they're maybe meeting up at the office if the office still exists. So people are finding a different nature of the beast here, where they're kind of getting tired of seeing the same people on the screen. And there's a situation that goes down with work-related or otherwise. And I'm guiding some of my adult kids right now on this. I'm counseling them and just saying, take a deep breath. Here's the thing. We're working through screens. What might be beneficial is to have an actual phone call with that person, or how about you guys go get coffee or something? Or the next time you are asked to go into the office for a team party, a team whatever, you know, take that person aside, because right now you don't know what you don't know, and you're making assumptions on each other.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so easy to do that. It's so easy, and especially in such a virtual world. You're so right. Yeah. You know, I've been back in the office for a while, but I know a lot of our clients and a lot of, you know, aren't, and it's a completely different environment. Right. And you got to cater to that and recognize that we're probably going to live way more in the virtual world moving forwards for decades to come because of this situation.
That's right. Absolutely.
It does a lot of things, but it's also hurt some relationships in some ways too. So it's just navigating that appropriately. Okay. So like I said, it's Friday. It's almost happy hour time for my BIA and my collagen. But with that being said, Denise, anything you want to leave the audience with, anything that you're like, you know what, if I could leave you one piece of magic that I've known of that I'd love to share, what would that be? That like, hey, listen, this is the Denise Wiggins, write it down, memorize it, and make it yours.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of it goes back to my roots, right? My blueprint of growing up and my mom and my dad and just, you know, instilling values and things like that into me. And I think people just need to remember always to give themselves space and grace. And with that, not to judge themselves as that they have to be perfect. You know, it's okay to be okay, you know, to just be okay. So like one of the things mom would say, you know, somebody had said in the community, I was like 7 or 8 years old, and they're like, wow, and I'm the only daughter and I have two older brothers. And they were like, wow, you know, you got such the perfect child. And my mother said, I'll never forget this, because we had subsequent conversations about it. She said, oh, no. She's not perfect. She's not perfect at all. And she never will be. And neither will any of us. I was like,
your jaw is like hanging open. You're going, what, are you like my mom?
Perfect. But mom says she knows, and she's learning the value of who she is, and she will be the best that she personally can be. And she will be confident in that. And she will continue to grow in that manner. Well, Erica, I'm going to tell you, that's something that I still to this day remind myself of. I do not have to be perfect, and no one else will either. But if we give our best and be our best, we can always do our best. You know what I mean?
Yes. Drop the mic. I mean, guys, I mean, talk about, I mean, free therapy here. I always, and I read a book, and I actually have a dress with an embroidered in it, is progress versus, progress versus perfection. There's my lack of perfection.
Exactly.
Right? We're making progress, right? And if we wait till it to be perfect, it's never getting done, because nothing's perfect, right?
That's right.
Have the perfect recipe or write the perfect book. There always could be a word, an exclamation, a semicolon that could be changed.
Oh, right? My goodness, yes. Totally.
So it's like, hey, listen, I've gotten to the point in my life, because I always say I'm a recovering perfectionist, and I'm like, it's good enough.
Yeah,
it's good enough.
It is.
It's not perfect.
Yeah.
And guess what? Perfect doesn't bring me happiness.
Perfect does not. And perfect actually uses time that we do not have.
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of wasted energy.
Lots of it. Totally. And a couple of other things I just want to leave the listeners with.
Yeah. Is,
you know, from a travel advisor standpoint, check those passports. If you think you're going to be traveling anytime soon, get them out, dust them off, look at your expiration date. You know, you always want to have at least a 6-month lead from the date that you return, that they're not expiring. Okay. Super important, but you can always go to travel.state.gov. That's where you can get the DS-11 form. There's actually something that just came out from the government on May 27th, where they are hosting passport fairs across the United States. I'll be posting on my Facebook business page soon about this, where you can go in your communities and get your passport done right there. So you don't have to go to your post office, to your library or whatever. It's coming to you. They're literally coming into our communities to help get the passports in motion.
Well, let me know. Mine expires in 2023. I was just checking that out.
Yes. So, you know, you want to be thinking about that. I'm going to put another plug in for travel insurance. Please always, always consider it, because you're investing in a trip that's worth X amount of dollars and you cannot predict what could unfold, and things do unfold. So you just want to have some protection and have that peace of mind. And, you know, also invest in finding some really good people to surround yourselves with, as well as some mentors. There's high value.
Oh man, bam, bam, bam. I mean, guys, if that wasn't glitter and glitz and everything in between, I don't know what it is. Denise Wiggins, one of the finest individuals I've ever met. I will tell you, check her out on social media, follow her. She is just one to watch, one to want to partner with, one to learn from and grow from. And let me tell you, she will infuse so much good energy in you. She's a power walker of all power walkers, and that woman can dance.
That is right. You are so right. I am the healthy traveler. I'm on Instagram and I love being that. And Erica, thank you. I'm just so, so happy to have been here and to be a part of this.
Absolutely. We'll share this out. We can't wait for everyone to listen. Thank you so much, everyone, for dialing in today to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. Go out, share this podcast, tag someone, give a raving review. That's how we build this podcast audience. Thank you so much for joining us today, Denise. Thanks for blessing us. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and I cannot wait for you to catch our next episode. I'll see you back here next time on an all-new episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz.